Who's that? That you, Edmund?
Yes.
Ow! God damn it. Oh. Turn out that light before you come in. I'm glad you've come, lad. I've been damned lonely. You're a fine one to run away and leave me to sit here alone when you're not... I told you to turn out that light. We're not giving a ball. There's no reason for the house to be ablaze with electricity at this time of night. Burning up money.
Huh. Ablaze with electricity. One bulb. Hell, everybody keeps a light on in the front hall until they go to bed. I damn near busted my knee on that hat stand.
The light from here shines in the hall. You could see your way well enough if you were sober.
If I was sober, I like that.
I don't give a damn what other people do. If they want to be wasteful fools for the sake of show, let them be.
Christ, one bulb. Don't be such a cheapskate. I've proved to you by figures that if you kept one bulb burning all night, it wouldn't cost as much as one drink.
The hell with your figures. The proof is in the bills I have to pay.
Oh, yes. Facts don't mean a thing to you, do they? What you want to believe, that is the only truth. Shakespeare was an Irish Catholic, for example.
So he was. The proof is in his plays.
Well, he wasn't, and there's no proof of it in his plays, except to you. The Duke of Wellington, there was another good Irish Catholic.
I never said he was a good one. He was a renegade. But he was a Catholic just the same.
Well, he wasn't. You just want to believe that no one but an Irish Catholic general could beat Napoleon.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I told you to turn out that light.
I heard you, and as far as I'm concerned, it stays on.
None of your damned insolence. Are you going to obey me or not?
Not. You want to be a crazy miser? Put it out yourself.
Now you listen to me. I've put up with a lot from you. Because from some of the crazy things you did, I wasn't sure you were quite right in the head. I've excused you and never lifted a hand to you. But there's a straw that breaks the camel's back. Now you're going to obey me. And turn out that light. Or big as you are, I'll give you a thrashing that you... Sorry, Edmund. I forgot. But you shouldn't goad me into losing my temper.
Papa, forget it. I apologize, too. I had no right being nasty about nothing. I am a bit soft, I guess. I'll put out the damned light.
No! Stay where you are. Let it burn. We'll have them all out. Let them all burn. To hell with them. The end of the road is the poorhouse. And it might as well be sooner as later.
Oh, that's a grand curtain. Oh, Papa, you're a wonder.
Yeah, that's right. Laugh at the old fool. The poor old ham. But the final curtain will be in the poorhouse, and that's not comedy.
Well,
I'm not going to argue with you. You've got brains in that head of yours, though you do your best at times not to show it. Not like your drunken loafer of a brother. I've given up any hope he'll ever get any sense. Where is he, by the way? Well, it takes no soothsayer to tell he's probably in the whorehouse.
Well, what of it if he is? Why not?
Why not indeed? Fit place for him. He's ever had loftier dreams than whores and whiskey. He's never shown it.
For Pete's sake, Pop, if you're going to start that stuff, I'll beat it.
I'll stop. I'll stop. God knows I don't like the subject any better than you do. Will you join me in a drink?
Well, now you're talking.
I'm wrong to treat you. You've had enough already.
Well, enough is not as good as a feast.
It's too much in your condition.
Forget my condition. Well... Here's how.
Good luck. You walked all the way from the beach. You must be damp and chilled.
Oh, well, I dropped in at the inn on the way out and back.
Not a night I'd pick for a long walk.
I loved the fog. It was what I needed.
You should have more sense.
What the hell with sense? We're all crazy. What do we want with sense? Oh. They are not long, the days of wine and roses. Out of a misty dream our path emerges for a while, then closes within a dream. The fog was where I wanted to be. Halfway down the path, you can't even see this house. You'd never know it was here. Or any of the other places down the avenue. I couldn't see but a few feet ahead. I didn't meet a soul. Everything looked and sounded unreal. Nothing was what it is. That's what I wanted, to be alone with myself in another world where truth is untrue and life can hide from itself. You know, out beyond the harbor where the road runs along the beach, I even lost the feeling of being on land. The fog and the sea seemed part of each other. It was like walking on the bottom of the sea, as if I'd drowned long ago. As if I was a ghost belonging to the fog. And the fog was the ghost of the sea. Felt damned peaceful being a ghost within a ghost. Don't look at me as if I'd gone nutty. I'm talking sense. Who wants to see life as it is if he can help it? It's the three gorgons in one. You look in their faces and you turn to stone. Or it's Pan. You see him and you die. That is, inside you. You have to go on living as a ghost.
You have a poet in you. But it's a damn morbid one. Oh, devil take your pessimism. I feel low-spirited enough already. Why can't you remember your Shakespeare and forget the third-raters? You'll find what you're trying to say in him, as you'll find everything else worth saying. We are such stuff as dreams are made on. And our little life is rounded with a sleep.
Fine. That's beautiful. But I wasn't trying to say that. We are such stuff as manure is made on. So let's drink up and forget it. That's more my idea.
Oh, keep those sentiments to yourself. I should never have given you that drink.
Did pack a wallop. On you too, huh? Even if you never missed a performance. Well, what's wrong with being drunk? It's what we're after, isn't it? Let's not kid each other, Papa. Not tonight. We know what we're trying to forget.
Yeah. All we can do is try to be resigned. Again.
Or be so drunk you can forget. Be always drunken. Nothing else matters. That is the only question. If you would not feel the horrible burden of time weighing upon your shoulders and crushing you to the earth, be drunken continually. Drunken with what? With wine, with poetry, or with virtue, as you will. But be drunken. And if sometimes on the stairs of a palace, or in the green side of a ditch, or in the dreary solitude of your own room, you should awaken, and the drunkenness be half or wholly slipped away from you, ask of the wind, or of the wave, or of the star, or of the bird, or of the clock, of whatever flies or sighs or rocks or sings or speaks, ask what hour it is. And the wind, wave, star, bird, clock will answer you. It is the hour to be drunken. Be drunken if you would not be martyred slaves of time. Be drunken continually, with wine, with poetry, or with virtue, as you will.
I wouldn't worry about the virtue part of it if I were you. What little truth is in it, you'll find more nobly said in Shakespeare. But you recited it well, lad. Who wrote it?
Baudelaire.
Never heard of him.
He also wrote a poem about Jamie and the Great White Way.
Ah, that drunken loafer. I hope to God he misses the last car and has to stay uptown.
Not for vain tears went I up at that hour, but like an old, sad, faithful lecher, fain to drink delight of that enormous trull whose hellish beauty makes me young again. I loved the infamous city, Harlots and hunted have pleasures of their own to give the vulgar herd can never understand.
Morbid filth. Where the hell do you get your taste in literature?
It's a good likeness of Jamie, don't you think? Hunted by himself and whiskey, hiding in a Broadway hotel room with some fat tart. Now he likes them fat. Reciting Dowson's Cinera to her. I have been faithful to thee, Cinera, in my fashion. Oh, it's nuts. It's completely nuts. The poor fat burlesque queen doesn't get a word of it, but suspects that she's being insulted. Well, who am I to feel superior? I've done the same damn thing. Yeah, it's no more crazy than poor Dowson himself. Inspired by an absinthe hangover, writing it to some dumb barmaid who thinks he's a poor crazy souse and gives him the gate to marry a waiter. Ah, poor Dowson. And booze and consumption got him.
Your taste in authors. The damned library of yours. Voltaire, Rousseau, Schopenhauer, Nietzsche, Ibsen, atheists, fools, and madmen. When I have three good sets of Shakespeare here that
they say he was a souse, too.
They lie. I don't doubt he liked his glass. It's a good man's failing. But he knew how to drink, so he didn't poison his mind with morbidness and filth. Don't compare him with that pack of yours, your dirty Zola, and your dandy Gabriel Rossetti, who was a dope fiend and who...
Perhaps it would be wise to change the subject. You can't accuse me of not knowing Shakespeare. Didn't I win $5 from you once when you bet me that I couldn't learn a leading part of his in a week as you used to do in stock in the old days? I learned Macbeth and recited it letter perfect with you giving me the cues.
That's right, lad, you did. It was a terrible ordeal, I remember. Hearing you murder the lines. I kept wishing I'd paid the bet instead of making you prove it. Listen. She's moving around. I was hoping she'd gone to sleep.
Papa, forget it. Let's have another drink. When did Mama go to bed?
Right after you left. She didn't want any dinner. What made you run away?
Nothing. Well, here's how.
Good luck. Moving around. I hope she doesn't come downstairs.
Yeah, she'll be nothing but a ghost haunting the past by this time. Back before I was born.
Oh, doesn't she do the same thing with me? Back before I ever knew her? You'd think the only happy days she ever had were in her father's house. Or in the convent, praying and playing the piano. As I've told you before, lad, you must take her tales with a grain of salt. Her wonderful home was ordinary enough. Her father was prosperous in his wholesale grocery business. He was an able man, but he had his weakness. She condemns my drinking, but she doesn't say anything about his. Oh, I know. He didn't begin till after he was 40. But he soon made up for lost time. He was a champagne drinker, the worst kind. Yeah? That was his grand pose, to drink only champagne. Well, that finished him quick enough. That and the consumption.
We just don't seem able to avoid unpleasant topics, do we?
No. No, we don't. What do you say to a game of casino, lad?
All right.
It'll help pass the time. We can't lock up till Jamie comes home on the last trolley, which I hope to God he doesn't. And besides, I don't want to go upstairs till she's asleep.
Neither do I.
That playing the piano and becoming a concert pianist. That was put in her head by the nuns, flattering her. She was their pet.
Papa, if we're going to play cards, why don't you deal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the idea of being a nun? Your mother was one of the most beautiful girls you ever saw in your life, and she knew it, too. She was a bit of a rogue and a coquette beneath all her shyness and blushing. God bless her. She was never made to renounce the world. She was full of health, happiness. The love of loving.
Papa, for God's sake, will you deal the cards?
Oh, yes. Let's see what I have here.
Listen.
She's coming downstairs.
We'll play our game. Pretend not to notice. She'll go back up again.
She must have started down, then turned back.
Thank God.
Yes, it's pretty horrible to see her the way she must be now. You know, the hardest thing to take is that blank wall she builds around herself. Or it's more like a bank of fog in which she hides and loses herself deliberately. That's the hell of it. You know that something in her does it deliberately to get beyond our reach, be rid of us, forget we're even alive. It's as if in spite of loving us, she hated us.
Oh, lad. It's not her. It's the poison talking.
Yeah, well, she takes it to get that effect. At least I know she did this time.
She's been terribly frightened about your illness for all her pretending. Don't be too hard on her, lad. Remember, she's not responsible. Once that cursed poison gets a hold of someone...
Well, it never should have gotten a hold on her. I know damned well she's not responsible. And I know who is. You are. Your damned stinginess. If you'd spent some money on a decent doctor when she was so sick after I was born, she never would have known morphine existed. Instead, you had to go and put her in the hands of a hotel quack, another one of your bargains.
How dare you talk about something you know nothing about? You was trying to see my side of it too, lad. How did I know he was that kind of a doctor? He had a good reputation.
Among the souses in the hotel bar, I suppose.
That's a lie. I asked the proprietor to recommend the best.
Yes, at the same time crying poorhouse, making it plain you wanted a cheap one. I know your system. By God, I ought to after this afternoon.
What about this afternoon?
Never mind that now. We're talking about Mama. And I'm saying that no matter how you excuse yourself, you know damn well your stinginess was to blame.
And I'm saying you're a liar. Now you shut
After you found out that she'd been made a morphine addict, why didn't you send her to a cure then at the start while she still had a chance? Oh, that would have meant spending some money. I bet you told her all she had to do was use a little willpower. That's what you still believe in your heart, in spite of what the doctors who know something about it have told you.
You lie again. I know all that now. But what did I know then? What did I know about morphine? It was years before I knew what was wrong. I thought she was just a long time getting over her sickness, that's all. And why didn't I send her on a cure, you say? Didn't I? I've spent thousands upon thousands on cures. What good did they do? She always started again.
Yes, because you never gave her anything that would help her want to stay off it. No home, except this summer dump in a place she hates. And you've refused even to spend money to make this look decent. While you go around buying more property, playing sucker for every con man with a gold mine or a silver mine or any kind of get-rich-quick swindle. Oh, and you've dragged her around on the road season after season on one-night stands, waiting in dirty hotel rooms for you to come home with a bun on after the bars had closed. Christ, it's any wonder she didn't want to get cured. Jesus, you know, when I think of it, I really hate your guts.
You insolent young pup. How dare you talk to your father like that? After all I've done for you.
Oh, well, we'll come to that, what you're doing for me.
Will you stop repeating those crazy accusations that she never makes unless it's the poison talking? I never dragged her on the road against her will. I loved her, and I wanted her with me. And she loved me, and she wanted to be with me, and that's the truth no matter what she says when she's not herself. And she needn't have been lonely. There were the members of my company to talk to. And she had her children, and I insisted, in spite of the expense... on having a nurse to travel with her.
Oh, yes, your one generosity. And that because you were jealous of her spending too much time with us. You wanted us out of your way. Well, that was another mistake, too. You see, if she'd had me to take care of all by herself, had that to occupy her mind, then maybe she'd have been able to stay off that goddamn stuff.
And if you'd persist in believing what she says when she's not herself, if you'd never been born...
Papa, don't you think I know that that's what she feels?
No. No, she doesn't. She loves you as much as a mother ever loved her son. I only said that because you put me in such a goddamn rage. Raking up the past. Saying you hate me.
I didn't mean that. Christ. I'm like Mom. I can't help liking you in spite of everything.
Well, I guess it's the same with me. You're no great shakes as a son. A case of a poor thing, but mine own.
what's happened to our game.
It's my play, isn't it?
No. No, it's yours. You mustn't be too downhearted, lad, by the bad news you got this afternoon. Both the doctors promised me that if you obey orders, you'll be cured in 6 months. Or a year at the
most. Otto, don't kid me. You don't believe that.
Of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I? When both Hardy and the specialist...
You think that I'm going to die.
That's a lie. You're crazy.
So why waste money? That's why you're sending me to a state farm.
What state farm? It's the Hilltown Sanatorium, that's all I know. Both the doctors said it was the best place for you.
For the money? That is, for nothing, or practically nothing. Don't lie about it, Papa. You know damn well that the Hilltown Sanatorium is a state institution. Jamie suspected you'd cry poorhouse to Hardy. He wormed the truth out of him.
Oh, that drunken loafer. I'll kick him out in the gutter. He's poisoned your mind against me ever since you were old enough to listen.
You can't deny it's the truth about the state farm, can you?
Well, it's not true the way you look at it. What if it is run by the state? That's nothing against it. The state has the money to make a better place than any private sanatorium. And why shouldn't I take advantage of it? It's my right and yours. We're residents. I'm a property owner. I help support it. I'm taxed to death.
Yes, on property valued at $250,000.
Guys, it's all money.
Hardy and the specialists know what you're worth. I wonder what they thought of you when you wandered in there and started moaning poorhouse, showing you wanted to wish me on charity.
That's a lie. All I told them was I couldn't afford any millionaire sanatorium because I was land poor, and that's the truth.
And then you went to the club and you met McGuire and you let him stick you with another piece of bum property.
I did nothing of
that. Don't lie about it, Papa. We ran into McGuire at the hotel bar after he left you. Jamie kidded him about hooking you and he winked and laughed.
He's a liar if he said...
God damn it, Papa, don't lie about it! Papa, you know, ever since I went to sea and was on my own... found out what hard work for little pay was, what it felt like to be broke and starve and camp out on park benches because I had no place else to sleep. I've tried to be fair to you because I knew what you were up against as a kid. I've tried to make allowances. Christ, you have to make allowances in a family like this or go nuts. I've tried to feel, God, I've tried to feel like Mama, that you can't help being what you are where money's concerned. God almighty, this last stunt of yours is too much. Makes me want to puke. Not because of the rotten way you're treating me. To hell with that. I've treated you rottenly in my way more than once. But to think when it's a question of your own son having consumption, you can show yourself up before the whole goddamn town as such a stinking old tightwad. Don't you know that Hardy'll talk? The whole damn town'll know. Papa, don't you have any pride? Don't you have any shame? And don't think I'm going to let you get away with it. I'm not going to any goddamn state farm just to save you a few lousy dollars to buy more bum property with. You stinking old miser!
Edmund, I'm not going to listen to anything. Edmund, stop coughing. Stop. You're getting yourself all worked up over nothing. Who says you have to go to this Hilltown place? You can go any place you like. I don't give a damn what it costs. All I want is for you to get well. Don't call me a stinking old miser. Just because I don't want those doctors to think I'm some millionaire they can swindle.
I can't breathe.
Here, Edmund. Here, take a drink. You look all beat out.
Thanks.
Stinking old miser, huh? Well, maybe you're right. Maybe I can't help being. Although ever since I've had anything, I've thrown money over the bars to buy drinks for everybody in the house, or loaned it to sponges I knew would never pay it back. But that was in bar rooms, when I was full of whiskey. When I'm sober at home, I can't feel that way. It was at home that I first learned the value of a dollar and the fear of the poorhouse, and I've never believed in my luck ever since. I've always thought that everything I had would be taken away from me. Still, the more property you own, the safer you are, you think. That may not be logical, That's the way I have to feel. Banks fail and your money's gone. But you still own the land beneath your feet. You said you'd realized what I was up against as a kid, huh? Well, let me tell you something. The hell you do. How could you? You've had everything. Nurses, school, college, though you didn't stay there. You've had food, clothing. What do you know of the value of a dollar? When I was 10, my father deserted my mother and went back to Ireland to die, which he did soon enough and deserved to. And I hope to God he's roasting in hell. He mistook rat poison for flour, sugar, or something. My mother was left a stranger in a strange land with four small children. Me and an older sister, two younger ones. My two older brothers had moved to other parts. They couldn't help. They were hard put to keep themselves alive. Well, there was no damned romance in our poverty. Twice we were evicted from the miserable hovel we called home, and my mother's few sticks of furniture thrown out on the street. And my mother was crying. Sisters were crying. And I was crying too, though I tried hard not to, because I was the man of the family at 10. Well, there was no more school for me. I went to work in a machine shop, 12 hours a day, learning to make files. Dirty barn of a place, where the rain leaked through the roof, where you roasted in summer, and there was no stove in winter, and your hands were numb with cold. But the only light came through two small, filthy windows, so that on gray days, I had to sit with my eyes bent over, almost touching the files in order to see. Talk of work, huh? What do you think I got for that, huh? 50 cents a week. 50 cents a week. My mother washed and scrubbed for the Yanks by the day. And my older sister took in sewing. The two young ones stayed home to keep house. We never had clothes enough to wear or food enough to eat. Well, I remember one Christmas. Or was it Thanksgiving? The Yank in whose house my mother scrubbed gave her an egg. And on the way home, he spent it all on food. And I remember hugging and kissing us and saying with tears in her eyes, "Glory be to God, for once in our lives we'll have enough to eat." A fine, fine, brave woman. I never knew a braver or a finer.
Yes. She must have been.
Her one fear was that she'd get old and sick, die in the poorhouse. Well, that's where I learned to be a miser. A dollar was worth so much then. Once you've learned a lesson, it's hard to unlearn it. You look for bargains. So if I took this Hilltown Sanatorium for a bargain, you must forgive me. Both the doctors said it was the best place. You must believe that, Edmund. But I don't want you to go there if you don't want to. You can go anywhere you like. I don't give a damn what it costs. Any place I can afford, any place you like. Within reason. There was another place the specialist recommended. Said it had as good a reputation as any place in America. It's endowed by a group of millionaire factory owners for the benefit of their employees, principally. But you're eligible because you're a resident. There's such a pile of money behind it, they don't have to charge much. $7 a week. But you get 10 times that value. I'm not trying to persuade you, you understand. I'm only repeating what I was told.
Oh, I know that. Sounds like a good bargain to me. I'd like to go there. So that settles that. It doesn't matter a damn now anyway. Let's forget it.
Well, life overdid the lesson. Made a dollar worth too much. And the time came when that mistake ruined my career as a fine actor. Oh, I've never told this to anybody before, lad, but tonight I'm so heart sick and at the end of everything. Besides, what's the use of fake pride and pretense? That goddamn play that I bought for a song and made such a success in. Great money success, that is. It ruined me. Ruined me with its promise of an easy fortune. I didn't want to do anything else. And by the time I woke up to the fact that I was a slave to the damn thing and did try other plays, it was too late. They'd identified me with that one part, and they didn't want me in anything else, and they were right. They were right. Because I'd ruined the great talent I once had. Through years of easy repetition, never learning a new part, never really working hard. 35 to 40,000 net profit a season, like snapping your fingers. It was too great a temptation. And yet, before I bought the damn thing, I was considered one of the 3 or 4 young actors with the greatest artistic promise in America. I'd worked like hell. I left a good job as a machinist to play supers parts because I loved the theater so. I was wild with ambition. I read every play ever written. I studied Shakespeare as you'd study the Bible. And I educated myself. I got rid of an Irish brogue you could cut with a knife. Oh, I loved Shakespeare. I'd have acted in his plays for nothing but the joy of being alive and his great poetry. And I acted well in him, too. I was inspired by him. I could have been a great Shakespearean actor. I know that. In 1874, when Edwin Booth came to the McVickers Theater in Chicago, where I was the leading man, I played Iago to his Othello, Othello to his Iago, Cassius to his Brutus, Brutus to his Cassius. Well, anyhow, the night I played Othello, he said to our manager, "That young man is playing Othello better than I ever did." That from Booth. Edwin Booth, greatest actor of his day, or any day. And I was only 27 years old. As I look back on that night now, that was the high spot of my career. I had life where I wanted it. And for a while, I kept on with ambition high. I married your mother. You ask your mother what I was like in those days. And her love was an added incentive to my ambition. But then, a few years later, my good bad luck made me find the big moneymaker. Oh, it wasn't that at first. It was a great romantic part, and I knew that I could play it better than anybody else. But it was a box office smash right from the start. And then, life had me where it wanted me. 35 to 40,000 net profit a season. Fortune in those days, or even in these. What was it I wanted to buy, I wonder? Huh. Well, it's late in the day for regrets, isn't it? My play, isn't it?
Papa, I'm glad you told me this. I know you a lot better now.
Maybe I shouldn't have told you. Maybe you'll only feel more contempt for me. And it's a poor way to teach you the value of a dollar. The glare from those extra lights hurts my eyes. You don't mind if I turn them on, do you? We don't need them. And there's no sense in making the electric light company rich.
No, go ahead, turn them out.
What was it I wanted to buy? On my solemn oath, Edmund, I'd gladly face not having an acre of land to call my own, nor a penny in the bank. I'd be willing to have no home but the poorhouse in my old age. If I could look back now on having been the fine actor I might have been. What are you laughing at, huh?
Oh, not at you, Papa. Not at you, at life. It's so damn crazy.
Oh, there's nothing the matter with life. It's us. Us. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars.
but in ourselves that we are underlings. That praise that Booth gave my Othello, I made the manager put down his exact words in writing. I carried it in my wallet for years. I used to take it out and look at it. But after a while, I got so I couldn't face it. Where is it now, I wonder? Must be in this house somewhere. I put it away carefully.
Maybe it's up in the attic in an old trunk along with Mama's wedding dress.
God. She'd never go to sleep.
Papa, for Christ's sake, forget it. You've just told me some of the high spots in your memories. You want to hear mine?
Yes.
Well, they're all connected with the sea. Here's one. When I was on the Squarehead square rigger bound for Buenos Aires. Full moon in the trades. The old hooker driving 14 knots. I lay on the bowsprit facing astern. The water foaming into spume under me. The masts with every sail white in the moonlight towering high above me. I became drunk with the beauty and the singing rhythm of it. And for a moment, I lost myself. Actually lost my life. I was set free and I dissolved in the sea and became white sails and flying spray. Became beauty and rhythm, became the moonlight and the ship and the high, dim-starred sky. I belonged, without past or future, within peace and unity and a wild joy, within something greater than my own life or the life of man, to life itself. To God, if you want to put it that way. And then another time on the American line, when I was lookout in the crow's nest in the dawn watch. A calm in the sea that time, only a lazy groundswell, slow, drowsy roll of the ship. The passengers all asleep, none of the crew in sight, no sound of man. Black smoke pouring from the funnels behind and beneath me. Dreaming, not keeping lookout, feeling alone and above and apart, watching the dawn creep like a painted dream over the sky and the sea, which slept together. Then the moment of ecstatic freedom came, the peace, the end of the quest. The last harbor, the joy of belonging to a fulfillment beyond men's lousy, pitiful, greedy fears and hopes and dreams. And several other times in my life, when I was swimming far out or lying alone on a beach, I've had the same experience. I became the sun, the hot sand, seaweed anchored to a rock swaying in the tide. Like a saint's vision of beatitude. Like the veil of things as they seem, drawn back by an unseen hand. For a second, you see. And seeing the secret, you are the secret. For a second, there is meaning. And then the hand lets the veil fall. And you're alone. And you're lost in the fog again. And you stumble on toward nowhere for no good reason. It was a great mistake by ever being born a man. I should have been much more successful as a seagull or a fish. as it is, I'll always be a stranger who never really feels at home, who does not really want, and who is not really wanted, who can never belong, and who must always be a little bit in love with death.
You have the makings of a poet in you. But that's morbid nonsense about not being wanted and loving death.
Well, the makings of a poet. Papa, I'm afraid I'm much more like the guy who's always panhandling for a smoke. He hasn't even got the makings. He's only got the habit. I couldn't touch what I tried to tell you just now. Just stammered. That's the best I'll ever do. I mean, if I live. Well, it'll be faithful realism at least. Stammering is the native eloquence of us bog people. Well, that sounds like the absent brother. I bet he has a peach of a bun on, hmm?
Caught the last car. God damn it. Edmund, get him to bed. I'll go out on the porch. Got a tongue like an adder when he's drunk, and I'd only lose my temper.
What ho! What ho!
Hey, nix on the loud noise.
Oh, hello, kid. I am as drunk as a filled bitch.
Thanks for letting me in on your great secret.
Yeah, it's unnecessary information number one, eh? Hey, you know, I had a serious accident. The front steps tried to trample on me. Took advantage of fog to waylay me. There ought to be a lighthouse out there. And it's dark in here, too. What the hell is this? The morgue? Come on. Let's have a little light on the subject. Ford, a cable river. Ford, a cable river in the dark. Keep the cross and stakes beside ya. And they will surely guide you across the Forked Cable River in the dark. That's more like it. The hell with old Gaspar. Where is the old Taiwan anyway?
Out on the porch.
Well, you can't expect us to live in the black hole of Calcutta, can you?
Shh.
Say, have I got the DTs? By God, it's real. What is the matter with the old man tonight? He must be ossified for getting left this out. Well, grab opportunity by the forelock, I always say, is the key to my success.
Hey, you're stinking now. That's going to knock you stiff.
Oh, wisdom from the mouth of babe. You can't know white stuff, kid. You're still wet behind the ears.
All right, pass out if you want to.
I can't. That's the trouble. I had enough to sink a ship, but I can't sink. Well, here's hoping.
Shove over the bottle. I'll have one with you.
No, you don't. Remember doctor's orders. Now, maybe nobody else gives a damn if you die, but I do. You're my kid brother, and I love your guts, kid. Everything else I had is gone, so no booze for you if I can help.
Jamie, will you lay off it?
You don't think I care, do you? You just think it's drunken bull. All right. Go ahead. Kill yourself.
Yeah, sure, Jamie. I know you care. And I'm going on the wagon, but tonight doesn't count. Too many damned things have happened today.
Okay, I know. It's been a lousy day for you. I'll bet old Gaspard hasn't tried to keep you off booze, has he? He'll probably give you a case to take with you to the state farm for pauper patients.
The sooner you kick the bucket, the less expense.
Christ. What a bastard to have for a father. If you put him in a book, nobody would believe it.
Your papa's not so bad if you try to understand him and if you keep your sense of humor.
Oh, he's been putting on the old sawback for you, has he? He can always kid you, but not me. Never again. That last drink is getting me. Well, this one I'll put the lights out. Hey, did you tell old Gaspard I got it out of Doc Hardy that the sanatorium is a charity dump?
Yes, I told him I wouldn't go there. It's all settled now. He said I can go anywhere I want.
Hmm?
Within reason, of course.
Of course. Anywhere you like, within reason. That means another cheap dump. Old Gaspard, the miser in the bells. That's a part he can play without me.
Hey, Jamie, will you lay off the Gaspard stuff? I've heard it about 1,000 times.
All right. If you're satisfied, let him get away with it. It's your funeral. I mean, I hope it won't be.
Hey, what did you do tonight? Did you go to Mamie Burns?
Sure thing. Well, where else can I go to find suitable feminine companionship and love? Don't forget love. What is a man without a good woman's love? A goddamn hollow shell.
Now, you're a nut.
Then, turning to my love, I said, the dead are dancing with the dead. The dust is whirling with the dust. But she heard the violin and entered in. Love passed into the house of lust. Ta-da. That's not strictly accurate. If my love was with me, I didn't know it. She must have been a ghost. Hey, guess which one of Mamie's charmers I picked to bless me with her woman's love. It'll hand you a laugh. I picked Fat Violet.
No, you picked Fat Violet. My God, that's some pick. She must weigh a ton. What for, a joke?
No, it was very serious. You see, by the time I hit Mamie's dump, I was feeling very sad about myself and all the other poor bums in the world. I was ready for a weep on any old womanly bosom. Well, you know how you get when John Barleycorn turns on the soft music inside. And then, as soon as I entered the door, Mamie began telling me all her trouble. She's beefed how rotten business is, and she's going to have to give Fat Violet the gate. Customers just didn't fall for Vi. Only reason she kept her was she could play the piano. And lately, Vi's been going on drunks, too, and been too boiled to play, and was eating her out of house and home. And although she was a good-hearted dumbbell, and she didn't know how the hell she's going to make a living, still, business was business, and she just couldn't afford to run a home for fat tarts. Well, that made me feel sorry for Fat Violet. So I squandered $2 a year dough to escort her upstairs. With no dishonorable intentions whatever. I like 'em fat, but not that fat. All I really wanted was a little heart-to-heart talk concerning the infinite sorrow of life.
Oh, poor Vi. I bet you gave her Swinburne.
Mm-hmm.
And Kipling. And Dowson, I have been faithful to the sitter in my fashion. Did you really?
Yes. And the old master, John Barleycorn, played soft music. Well, she stood it for a while, and then she got good and sore. She got the idea I took her upstairs for a joke. Gave me a grand bawling out. Said she was better than a drunken bum who recited poetry. And then she began to cry. So I had to say I loved her because she was fat. And she wanted to believe that, and I stayed with her to prove it, and that cheered her up. And she kissed me when I left. Said she'd fallen hard for me. And we both cried a little more in the hallway. Everything was fine. Except Mamie Burns thought I'd gone bug house.
Harlots and hunted have pleasures of their own to give. The vulgar herd can never understand.
Exactly. Oh, it was a hell of a good time. You should have stuck around with me, kid. Mamie Burns inquired after you. She was sorry to hear you were sick. She meant that, too. Hey, you know, this night has opened my eyes to a great career in store for me, my boy. I shall give the art of acting back to the performing seals, which are its most perfect expression. By applying my natural, God-given talents in their proper sphere, I shall attain the pinnacle of success. I'll be the lover of the fat woman in Barnum and Bailey Circus. Me, who have made some of the best lookers on Broadway, sit up and beg. Speaking in general, I have tried them all. The happy road to take you all the world. Speaking in general, I have tried them all. The happy road to take you all the world.
Happy roads is bunk. Weary roads is right. They get you nowhere fast. That's just where I got. Nowhere.
Hey, Cannon, you'll be crying in a minute.
Don't get too damn fresh. But you're right. What the hell with repining? Fat Violet is a good kid. I'm glad I stayed with her. Christian act. Cured her blues. I mean, what's the use of coming home to get the blues over what can't be helped? It's all over now. It's finished. Not a hope.
If I were hanging on the highest hill,
mother of mine, oh, mother of mine,
I know whose love would follow me.
Shut up.
Hey, where's the hophead? Gone asleep?
You dirty bastard.
Thanks, kid. I certainly had that coming. The booze talk.
Hey, I'm sorry that I hit you.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm glad you did. My dirty tongue, I'd like to cut it out. I suppose it's because Mama really had me fooled. I really believe she had it licked. You know, she always thinks I think the worst, but this time I really believe the best. I don't know, I just suppose I can't forgive her yet. It meant so much. I just thought if she could beat the game, maybe I could too.
God, don't I know how you feel? Oh, hey, Jamie, cut it out.
I've known about Mama so much longer than you, kid. No, I'll never forget the first time I got wise. I caught her in the act with a hypo. Great. I never thought before that any women but whores took dope. And then all this stuff of you getting consumption, I don't know, it just got me licked. And you know, we have been more than just brothers. You're the only pal I've ever had. I love your guts. I'd do anything in the world for you.
Jamie, I know that.
Yeah, I know, I know. But you've heard Mama and old Gaspard spill so much bunk about my thinking the words that you're thinking right now that I'm thinking Pop is old and he can't last much longer. And if you're going to die, then I'm going to get everything.
Hey, hey, shut up, will you? What put that in your nut? Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. What put that in your mind?
What are you trying to do? Accuse me? Hey, don't play the wise guy with me, kid. I have learned more about life than you will ever know. Just because you've read a lot of highbrow junk, don't think you can fool me. You're only an overgrown kid, Mama's baby. Papa's pet. A family of white oak. Listen, you have been getting a swelled head lately about nothing. About a few poems in a Hicktown newspaper. Hell, I used to write better stuff than that in the Lit magazine in college. You had better wake up. You're setting no rivers on fire. You let Hicktown boobs flatter you with bunk about your future. Yeah, I don't mean that. Why shouldn't I be proud? You reflect credit on me. I have had more to do with bringing you up than anybody. I wise you up about women so you wouldn't be a fall guy or make any mistakes you didn't want to make. And who steered you on to poetry first? Swinburne, for example.
I did. And because I once wanted to write, I planted it in your mind that someday you'd write.
Pal, you're more than my brother. I made you. You're my Frankenstein.
All right, I'm your Frankenstein. Let's have a drink together.
I'll have a drink, not you. I gotta take care of you. Don't be scared about this sanatorium business. In 6 months, you can beat that standing on your head. You know, you probably haven't even got consumption at all. Doctors are a lot of fakers. They told me years ago to cut out the booze or I'd soon be dead. Yeah, yeah. They're all con men, anything to grab your dough. You know, this State Farm stuff is political grabbing. Doctors get a cut for every patient they send.
Oh, you're the limit. You know, I bet at the last judgment, you'll be around telling everybody, it's in the bag, it's in the bag.
And hey. I'll be right. Slip me the change to the judge and you're safe. But if you're broke, you're gonna go to hell.
Therefore, put money in thy purse. That is the only dope.
Well, it's the secret of my success. Look what it's got me.
Listen, kid. You're going to be going away soon. And I may not get another chance to talk to you. Or I may not be drunk enough to tell you the truth. So I want to tell you something right now. For your own good. Something I ought to have told you a long time ago. It's not drunken bull.
It's in vino veritas stuff. So you better take it seriously. I want to warn you against me. Mom and Papa are right. I've been rotten, bad influence. And you know the worst of it is, I did it on purpose.
Hey, Jamie, now shut up. I don't want to hear anything.
I did it on purpose to make a bum out of you. A part of me did. A big part. The part that has been dead so long and hates life. You know, by putting you wise so that you learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, I believe that myself at times, but it's a fake.
It made my mistakes look good. It made getting drunk romantic. It made whores fascinating vampires instead of poor diseased slobs that really are.
I made fun of work, a sucker's game. But I never wanted you to succeed and make me look even worse by comparison. I wanted you to fail, mama's baby, papa's pet.
And I'll tell you something else. It was your being born that started my
Dope. Come on.
I know it's not your fault, but God damn it, I can't help hating your guts.
And will you stop it? You're crazy.
Don't get the wrong idea.
I love you more than I hate you. My saying what I'm telling you right now proves that, and I run the risk you're going to hate me and you're all I got left. I didn't mean that last stuff. Go that far back. I don't know what made me. What I wanted to tell you is this. I hope that you'll become the greatest success in the world. But you better be on your guard, because I'm going to do my damnedest to make you fail.
I can't help it. I hate myself. I got to take revenge on everybody else, especially you.
Oscar Wilde's running jail. He's got the dope all twisted. That man was dead, and so he had to kill the thing he loved. That's what it ought to be.
A dead part of me hopes you won't get well, and maybe he's even glad the game has got Mama again. He wants company. He don't want to be the only corpse around.
Jamie, will you shut up? You're crazy.
Just think it over. Just think it over, and you'll see that I'm right. You think it over when you're away from me in the sanatorium. You make up your mind. You've got to tie a can to me and get me out of your life. Think of me as dead. Tell people I had a brother, but he's dead. And when you come back, you better look out for me, because I'm going to be there to welcome you with my old pal and give you the glad hand. And at the first good chance I get, I'll stab you in the back.
All right, that's it. I'll be goddamn if I won't listen anymore.
Don't forget me. Remember, I warned you for your sake. Give me credit. Greater love hath no man than this, that he saveth his brother from himself. That's all. I feel better now. I've gone to confession. I know you absolve me, don't you, kid?
Yeah.
You understand. You're a damn fine kid. Well, you ought to be. I made you. So go and get well. Don't die on me. You're all I've got left. God bless you. At last.
Thank God he's asleep. I thought he'd never stop talking. Leave him where he is to sleep it off. I heard the last part of what he said to you, kid. That's what I warned you. I hope you'll heed the warning now you hear it from his own mouth. Don't be discouraged. He likes to show the worst side of himself when he's drunk. He's devoted to you. The one good thing left in him. Sweet spectacle for me. My firstborn, who I hope will bear my name with honor and dignity, who showed such great promise.
Papa, can't you stop talking?
Waste. Wreck. Drunken hulk, done with and finished.
Oh, Clarence has come. False, fleeting, perjured Clarence that stabbed me in the field by Tewksbury. Seize on him, Furies! Take him in a torment. Look into my face, Papa. My name is Might Have Been. I am also called No More Too Late. Farewell.
I'm well aware of that.
And God knows I don't like to look at it.
Hey, Papa, I got a great idea for you. Put on a revival of The Bells this season. Got a great part. You can play in it without makeup. Old Gaspard, the miser.
Shut up, Jamie.
I claim that Edwin Booth never saw the day when he could give as good a performance as a trained eel. Seals are intelligent and honest. They don't put up any bluffs about the art of acting. They just admit they're hams earning their daily fish.
You drunken loafer.
Papa, do you want to start a robbing Mama down? Is that what you want? Jamie, will you shut up? You shut your mouth off too much already.
All right, no more arguments. I'm going back to sleep. Sure, I'm sleepy.
Oh, God. I wish she'd go to sleep. So I could, too.
I'm dead tired. I can't stay up all night the way I used to.
Getting old. Old and finished.
I think I'll catch a few winks. Why don't you do the same thing, Edmund? It'll help pass the time.
I'll kick you out in the gutter tomorrow morning, so help me. Stop it, Jamie. Jamie, stop it.
Jamie, come on, stop it.
Thank you very badly now. I'm all out of practice. Sister Teresa's going to give me a dreadful scolding. She's going to say that it's not fair to my father when he spends so much on extra lessons. She's quite right. It's not fair when he's so kind and good and so proud of me. I'm going to practice every day from now on. But something terrible has happened to my hands. Fingers have gotten so stiff, and they're so ugly. I'll have to go to the infirmary and show them to Sister Martha. She's old and a little cranky, but I love her just the same. And she has things in her medicine cabinet that will cure anything. She'll give me some ointment to rub on my hands, and she'll tell me to pray to the Blessed Virgin to be all right in no time. Let me see. What did I come in here for? Terrible how absent-minded I've become. I'm always dreaming and forgetting.
Edmund, what's that she's dragging?
Her wedding gown, I suppose.
Oh, Christ. Mary. Mary, give that to me. You'll only step on it and tear it. Get it dirty, dragging on the ground. And you'd be sorry afterward.
Thank you. You're very kind. It's a wedding gown. Very lovely, isn't it? Oh, I remember. I found it up in the attic in an old trunk. I don't know what I wanted it for. I'm going to be a nun. That is, if I can find what I came in here for. I know it's something that I lost. It's something that I miss terribly. Can't be lost altogether, can it?
Mama.
It's something that I need terribly. I remember that when I had it, I was never lonely and I was never afraid. Can't be lost forever. Because if I thought that, then I would die, because I wouldn't know that there would be no hope.
Mama. It's not a summer cold. I've got consumption.
You must not try to touch me. You must not try to hold me. It's not right. I'm going to be a nun.
It's no good, kid. We are hence. We are gone. As though we had not been here.
Oh, yeah. Damn poison. Never known her to drown herself as deep in it as this. Pass the bottle, Jamie. And stop reciting that morbid poetry. I won't have it in my house.
I had a talk with Mother Elizabeth. She is so sweet and good. A saint on earth. I love her dearly. It may be sinful of me, but I love her better than my own mother, because she always understands, even before you say a word. Her kind blue eyes look right into your heart. Couldn't deceive her, even if you were mean enough to want to. All the same, I don't think she was so understanding this time. I told her I wanted to be a nun. I explained how sure I was of my vocation, that I'd prayed to the Blessed Virgin to make me sure and to find me worthy. I told Mother that I had had a true vision when I was praying in the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes on the little island in the lake. I said I knew, as surely as I knew I was kneeling there, that the Blessed Virgin had smiled and blessed me with her consent. But Mother Elizabeth told me I must be more sure than that even, that I must prove it wasn't simply my imagination. She said if I was so sure, then I wouldn't mind putting myself to a test by going home after I graduated and living as all the other girls lived, going out to parties and dances and enjoying myself. And then, if after a year or two I still felt sure, I could come back to see her and we would talk it over again. I never dreamed Holy Mother would give me such advice. I said, of course, I would do anything she suggested, but I knew it was simply a waste of time. And after I left her, I felt all mixed up. So I went back to the shrine and prayed to the Blessed Virgin and found peace again, because I knew she heard my prayer and would always love me and see no harm ever came to me as long as I never lost my faith in her. That was in the winter of senior year. Then in the spring, something happened to me. Yes, I remember. I fell in love with James Tyrone and was so happy. Mm-hmm.